Hi, and welcome to the Eighth Amendment Podcast. We are sponsored by Bishop's Orchard, blending apples into cider since 1967.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Julia Sackey.
And I'm Corinne Rucco.
And we are historians.
And today you will be too.
Today we will be discussing the Eighth Amendment, which says excessive bail shall not be required, non-excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted.
The amendment was established in the Bill of Rights in 1791 to protect Americans from excessive bail and cruel and unusual punishment.
In this podcast, we will be discussing and answering some questions relating to the topic. The first question is, what were the underlying and immediate causes of this amendment? So one of the causes of this amendment was that the English Bill of Rights had it, and I think that that was a huge inspiration to the Americans, and that's why they put it in their Bill of Rights also. And another reason is because the judges would set the bail too high, and so the criminals or the accused wouldn't have enough time to set a defense, or they couldn't pay the bail because it was so high. And going off of that, I think that sometimes the judges would set the bail for a minor crime, like, really high. So, like, say that you stole a bag of chips. They would be like, you stole a bag of chips. Yeah. Your fine is $1 million. Like, maybe not that dramatic. But I think that part of the reason this amendment was there was because things like that would happen. And people wouldn't be able to pay the fine.
So, I have a very similar question. What was the causes connected to this amendment? And like Corinne, I said, the English Bill of Rights was the inspiration. Also, if we look back in history, a lot of times we see some really inhumane ways of execution. And basically, I think when this bill was created, Americans wanted change and they didn't want that to happen to themselves for things not, for, like, the penalty and the crime were not equal at their level. So my next question was, how is this amendment important to the lives of Americans today? So I had two different things I thought was connected to this question and pretty interesting. The first one was the death penalty, and this is still debated today. And today we have 20 states without the death penalty and 30 states with the death penalty. And this definitely impacts the lives of Americans today, questioning, is this cruel and unusual punishment, or is it something that we should be doing to prisoners? And the other thing I thought had an impact still today was life without parole for minors. So the United States is one of the few countries in the world that actually offers this. And although it's not used often, it's sometimes used. And recently, quite a few states have actually banned this, claiming that it's unconstitutional. And in a court case, I thought this quote really put it in perspective. A 17-year-old was being sentenced with life without parole, and his lawyer said he can't even see certain movies because the legislature has wisely decided that the individual of a certain age aren't responsible enough. So basically, the lawyer was saying he can't see certain movies, like he's not allowed to, but you're saying he's responsible for this crime and he should go to life without parole. Go to jail with life without parole. And I thought that was very controversial and definitely still affects us today.
Another one of the questions was, what effect did this amendment have on the people who needed to follow it first? So I found that before they had this amendment, many times people who were being accused for something would be punished in very inhumane ways, like Julia was saying. I found that sometimes people would be burned alive. They would be publicly dissected, they would be disemboweled alive, or just tortured. Public humiliation is also a thing that they did. And I think that the people who first had to follow this amendment, couldn't do this anymore, couldn't punish people like this anymore. And I think that the people who were going to be punished were protected finally by a law that would stop this from happening, and stop the inhumane ways of punishment from happening to them. So I think that was really important. So the next question is about the historical legacy of this amendment. So this amendment is very controversial today because many people and many states have different opinions on what is considered cruel and unusual punishment. So what one city will think or one state will think is cruel and unusual, another state wouldn't, and people, again, disagree with each other all the time. And like Julie was saying about the death penalty, that's also a very controversial topic that ties into this amendment because many people think it's okay and constitutional, while others think that it is very unconstitutional to execute somebody. So I think that it will always be a gray area. People will always disagree with each other, and people will always have a differing opinion than the other person. So I think it's important that we have this conversation on a local and state level to make sure that people know the law and understand it fully so that people don't get mad and angry at the law. And so then also... and Julia's going to answer her last question now.
So my last question is, what is the impact this topic has on the study of American history? So I think when you look back at our history, you can see how far we've come. And just the fact that 20 states don't allow the death penalty really shows a lot about the mindset of Americans and what we believe is cruel and unusual, because hundreds of years ago, we thought hanging and just like public execution was fine, but now we don't even know if execution is okay. And there have been many different cases, like Furman versus Georgia, where they claimed that it was unconstitutional that juries could decide the death penalty. They thought that was cruel and unusual because juries didn't have the knowledge and the like proper education to decide this for criminals. So for a while, the death penalty was illegal, but now states then reworked the wording of their laws to have that death penalty be allowed again. So I just think it's very interesting because you can see what Americans are thinking at the time based on the sentencing they're using for their criminals.
And to wrap up this podcast, we are going to talk about how it all affects today and how, again, like the historical legacy of it all. So basically, people are starting to question execution and they're starting to question this amendment because many people have seen people who have been wrongly accused be exonerated because they were innocent and they didn't actually commit the crime. And since 1973, 163 people were released from death row. And I think people realized that if they hadn't been released, like, they would have died for something that they didn't do or something that wasn't worth the death penalty. And so I think that it's really important that everybody knows that through DNA testing, people are being exonerated because they are put in jail for a crime they didn't do, and then they realize, oh, they didn't do this through DNA testing. And one of these organizations that helps with this is called the Innocence Project. And basically the Innocence Project helps the wrongly accused be exonerated from jail through DNA testing. And I think that prison reform is on the rise, and people are starting to question, how do we know people on death row are guilty? Like, if DNA testing has let 163 people go, how do we know that the people now are really and did what they did? And how do we know that they aren't innocent? How do we know that they are guilty? And I think that people are starting to question it. And so again, I think that it's a very important conversation to have, because I think when people start to question things like the Eighth Amendment, you know, it's a controversial topic. So I think that it will always be a gray area, but I think that overall people should have this conversation. To find more information on this topic, if you would like to further research it, you can go to the Cornell Law School, the Innocence Project. We also read an article by Anana M. Chakrabarty called Where is the Balance of Justice? An article by Robert S. Gernstein called Capital Punishment, Cruel and Unusual, A Retributive View, in the deathpenaltyinfo.org.
Also, online there is a lot of actual court cases you can read about and see the arguments and the outcomes of the cases.
So thank you so much for listening to our podcast, and we hope that you found it interesting and maybe even gathered a little more information.